Okay, good evening, everybody. And this is Option Professor of OptionProfessor.com. And I'm going to be giving you what I'm looking at here for 2022. And I'm going to give you some of the things that we're looking at and focused on. I'm going to go over a wide variety of things because I don't know exactly what each listener is interested in. A little background on myself. I'm a graduate of Boston College. I've been in the industry for decades, and I've done hundreds and hundreds of seminars in front of thousands of people, not only here in the U.S., but in Canada. And basically, I've explained the uses and the risks of investing, but also options as well. So tonight, I'm going to go over a bunch of different markets, tell you what I'm seeing right now. We've certainly gone up to a crazy start. We had news tonight on Microsoft. I'll get into that. But I do want to remind everybody that what we're going over is my opinions and my observations and my experience and my knowledge. What we're not doing is we're not giving advice, because you're supposed to go to your brokerage firm, your broker, and your advisor to get all that done. So past performance, not indicative of future results. And of course, like I say, everything we're going to talk about today is my opinion. Obviously, there's many opinions out here, and we're not giving advice on anything. Okay, so here we go. The stock market had a big drop. Okay, and let's talk about, you know, why that happened. First of all, why did it happen? You can see from the graph, which I've been speaking to people about for the last year, that the further away you get from these long-term moving average doesn't make the market less overbought. So obviously, we got higher, we're overbought, and then we're very overbought. Let me just put the RSI up here for you. I had it up there, but I guess the screen didn't keep it. But anyway, so you're extremely overbought. And then, of course, the tide changed on the Fed. They going to withdraw your reserves and stimulus. And that's about face from how we got up there. And then, of course, the growth rates. We are looking at, there was a 40% growth rate on earnings for tech during Q3. This quarter for Q4, it's supposed to be 14%. And now it's supposed to go down to like 2 and 3% during the year here, and then jump up at the end of the year. So growth rates are dropping, and interest rates, yields have risen. Again, inflation, because of a lot of it has to do with rents and wages and things that are not going to go away. People are rightfully contracting their estimates as far as what PEs will be this year and what growth rates will be. And so that's the fundamental reason. I'll show you a couple of charts here. We got a sell signal that really told us it was over around 46.50. I'll show you where that came from here in a second. Yeah, you can see here, you see when the red, green, and the blue all turn over, 4,700, 4,650. That's pretty much when you're supposed to be getting out or hedging. At the end of the broadcast, I'll explain how we have a package dedicated exactly to just hedging, where we explain how to protect yourself using calls and puts. So that obviously is the thing to throw on when it starts breaking down like that. And then obviously when your stocks tank, you have protection around them, offsetting some of the risk. I'll get into that in a little bit, but you can see that's the sell signal. And then of course, after you break the first thing you break is the 1 month graph. So you can see that really broke way up here in the 4750 area. But once you go there, you go to your 1 year graph and it breaks up here at 4650, 4700. Okay. Then you rely on your longer term graphs. So you go to your 5 year, and you can see it was holding up pretty good. It was holding the green line there, which is the 24 SMA at 45.55. And then once that broke, you were hoping it would stop at the 36 SMA, which was 44.75. That didn't hold. And that's how you go into the abyss. That's where there's no buying and the algos are pressing the market, because they can see there's no bid. And so they press it down to a panic, which we saw on Monday when we hit about 4,200 and the VIX was up in the 35-40 range. Okay. VIX at 35 and 40 is in the extreme red zone, because if you go higher than that, then you get into stuff that looks like 08 and you get into stuff that looks like 2020. And you get into some bad looking stuff. You might also know that only two times in the last 5 years has the NASDAQ broken underneath its 200-day moving average. And one was in 2020 during March, obviously, when the whole thing was tanking. But the other time was when they did a tightening thing back in Q4 of 2018. And both of those times, the pullback was more severe. So that's a cautionary flag to me, in addition to the fact that you can see the market. Now, here's the good news. The crossover has not occurred. So all of these are still rising pretty much, except the 1 year. And so, and of course, we're oversold down here at 4,200. So those are two good things. Now, if you go to the 20-year, here's something that I was showing people. The 1 year moving average is rising, and it comes in right now at about 43.32, 43.35. We're above that now. We've gone underneath it, but we're above it now. If we can stay above 43.32, then this could be about as bad as it gets at 4,200. But if we break under 4,200, can you see that 3,800 and 3,500 could be in the cards? So that's why you have to be aware of these numbers, in my view, because there is a better than even chance that sometime this year, there's going to be a full reversion to the mean. And if there is a full reversion to the mean, this is going to be very, very painful to see your portfolio dropping if you are a long-term holder. So that's why some type of hedging techniques can come in very handy, which we can talk about later. But my view right now is we got a big panic on Monday at 4,200. So far, it looks like it's holding. So that's good. The VIX has not been taking out the highs. Well, it did take out the highs today, but it's still in that 35-40 zone. And now it's underneath 35. We had some good news tonight because, you know, Microsoft came out with some earnings, and just like Alcoa and the banks and everything else, it started to tank and it went down to like 274 from 288. But now it's back to 291 because after they came out with the earnings, and for whatever reason, it didn't sound very good as far as guidance, they had a conference call on it. And once they had the conference call, the bid came back in. So obviously they explained how great things are going, how much the cloud business is going fabulous, and how they are still confident of their growth. So there are some current concerns. IBM is starting to maybe trying to steal some of their market share, but I think they quelled those a little bit during the conference call. So at any rate, rather than going, like if we were down 14 on Microsoft, you know, and I know we were going to be tanking tomorrow and probably even going down and testing something in that 4,200 neighborhood. But now there has been some boat legs for it, at least temporarily. You got Apple coming up on Thursday, and you got the Fed tomorrow, who is probably going to reiterate that they're going to be tightening. But if that guy up in Minnesota, I don't know his name, the Fed guy from Minnesota, who was the head of TARP when they were coming out of the 08 stuff, if he's correct and he's talking like two hikes, then it's a situation where it's going to be more, what are they going to do to the balance sheet? And is that runoff going to be very aggressive? But if they're going to go slow, 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 in other words, a quarter of a point and then take 3 months and a quarter of a point. Well, again, I don't think the market is discounted that. So that would be, I would imagine, be fairly bullish because especially in tech, which has long-term earnings that have to be discounted with higher rates. So again, very important how he comes out. I would anticipate he's going to be firm but gentle, which means he's not going to be talking four or five hikes. He's not going to be talking about breakneck speed on the balance sheet. He's going to be trying to be firm but saying, we are in this direction. We're going to be data dependent. Obviously, he's going to be talking common sense. He's going to be unwinding this thing, but also data dependent. Okay. I don't think he minds the market dropping 10%. And I don't think he even minds going it down 20%. Beyond that, I think he would mind, which means he might change his course if that were to happen. You know, he served the master of the stock investor and the stock speculator after the crash. And basically, they've been serving that master since 08 with all this quantitative easing. The problem is the 40% of the population that don't have $1,000 in the bank to hit an expense, and the people who are in the middle class who got a wage increase, but after inflation, they actually lost money. Those are the new master, because those are the people who will be voting, and those are the people who are very angry because they can see when they go to the grocery store, which also sometimes has the gas station in the same parking lot. Before they get out of the grocery store and out of that parking lot, they're getting hit in the face twice with high prices. And that's not going to grab people to the polls. So the bottom line is I think he's going to be going to serve a different master. And since the election is in the second half of the year, it makes some logical sense that he's going to, not he, you know, the circumstances are going to whack the market more intently in the first half of the year than it will in the second half. So that bad first, better in the second half scenario makes some sense to me very much, simply because we know the election's in the second half of the year. All right, but how bad is it going to get right now? You can say 4,200 is as bad as it gets, and 35 to 40 on the VIX is as bad as it gets. You can make that statement, but obviously you don't have much price evidence to back that up because it only happened Monday. If we start getting through next week and the week after and the 4,200 is still there, then that story makes a lot more sense. Okay, so we'll have to see how things pan out, but I just want to give you one number to work with, and that's 43.35. So let's try to keep above 43.30 or something like that. If we can keep closing above that, then the 4,200 looks more realistic. Your RSI is pointing down, but it's still positive at 63. I will tell you this on RSI. When the RSI is in the 60s, obviously you've been in a big bull market, right? And anytime it's above 60, you get an accelerating phase. So do you see we were in an accelerating phase? Let's see where the RSI is here. The RSI right here was at 65. Where was the RSI here? 59. Okay. So at 3,400, when the RSI broke above 60, okay, you'll notice that it hasn't been under 60 the entire time. So if the RSI, which right now is at 63, starts breaking under 60 and you start breaking under 4,200, I would make significant plans that a reversion to the mean is probably going to happen. So I just gave you another couple of things to keep an eye on as well. I like, you know, we like to work with the numbers because the numbers don't lie. People lie, but the numbers don't lie, right? So we always like to use the numbers. Okay, so that gives you a little bit of an overview of what we're seeing for this year and that type of thing. Now, I did want to bring up again that we've got five areas. Again, there's a lot of individual stocks out there. So optionprofessor@gmail.com. You send those over there with your contact information and we can analyze them for you and give you our opinion on them. But I'm not going to be able to hit every one of your stocks tonight. So just email optionprofessor@gmail.com. At gmail.com. And basically put down the stock and your contact information and we'll go through it. But I can't hit everyone today. So I'm going to give you some broad strokes. Okay. There's five areas that we work with as far as we have packages. Now, the reason we put packages together is this. People have different things they want to do with their money. Some people want to get income on it. Some people want to get growth and value to get the darn money to grow. Then they want to go sometimes into the international markets where valuations are much lower and the reopening has not really gone on. I mean, freaking China is what? Still locked down. Europe is still pretty locked down. Okay. And this Omicron is rolling over. So stuff that's been locked down and has very low valuations has to be of some interest, right? And then the final thing is speculation, which would be your crypto, your gold and silver and all that kind of stuff. So there's five different things that we work with. And I've been doing this for decades. So I'm very versant in all the areas. And I also work, you know, with money myself, obviously. So, you know, I keep track of all this stuff. And so I put these packages together to share them with you and you can take advantage of my knowledge and experience. Okay, so let's talk. I'm going to go through these. And the first thing is called income. And if you're not interested in income, stay tuned because I'm going to get to growth. I'm going to get to international. I'm going to go into spec and a lot of other things as well. But just hang with me because I'm not going to be on this for that long. Okay, when you want income on your money, you're basically going to be what they call in the debt markets, right? And that means you're going to be loaning money to somebody and they're going to pay you back. And at some point that instrument comes due, or unless you're in a mutual fund, they never come due because it's a big portfolio. But the bottom line is you're loaning money and you'd like to get the principal back and the interest or dividend. So the first thing people like to look at is high yield. So I'm going to put up something up here and give you an idea of what high yield looks like, because high yield has been getting away with murder. What does that mean? It means that they've been able to issue tons and tons and tons of debts. And I'm talking about Carnival cruises and all kinds of people, right? And they have been able to issue this debt at ridiculously cheap differentials to treasuries. Now, treasuries are what? They're the most solid thing you can get because it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, and the government can print money to pay you back. Obviously, it's going to be the safest thing from the standpoint of creditworthiness. So here you've got high yield, which means they are not of investment grade, right? And you are looking at a market that has been going since the crash. Now, you can see what can happen to a debt instrument if things get wild on the stock side. This thing goes from 88 to 60. That's like about a 30% drop. That means every 100 grand you have in there is now to like about 70. Okay, so it can be volatile, but it's been getting away with murder in that it's been able to issue debt at a very small differential to treasuries. That may be coming to an end. It hasn't really come to an end, but it may be. Your RSI right now on this stuff is right at 47. So anytime it's under 50, you're subject to a big drop, in my view. And then basically you're underneath all the moving averages on this stuff too, pretty much. So it's time to be a little careful on high yield. If you go to the five-year graph, you can see, I mean, come on, you're holding on to this stuff right now. All the moving averages are inverted to the downside and your RSI is under 50. That doesn't sound like the greatest time to be in high yield. Okay. So there's risk to high yield, and that's what you got to know about when you get in there. Sure, you're going to get some extra money, but you're also going to be taking some risks. Another way to that people get extra income is they go into preferred stocks. And preferred stocks is a situation like this. That's where you have a diversified. This is iShares. And as you can see, I mean, this stuff is not looking good. Okay. It's rolling over and your RSI is under 50. So there's quite a bit of danger in fixed income right now, as you would imagine, because we're going into a tightening cycle and possibly a growth contraction and a what? Valuation contraction. Okay. So preferreds and high yield both look a little dodgy, right? Now let's look at tax-free. And tax-free, there it goes, right? And where's your, this is on a five-year graph. So, I mean, you know, this stuff is downtrending and the RSI is where? The RSI is 37. I mean, you know, it's a little oversold down here because if the Fed comes out and is pretty mellow tomorrow, you could get a rally in the bond market and meaning yields might back off and also the munis might do better. But that doesn't look like a good trend right now. And the RSI certainly is weak. So there's your muni, that's your preferred, and that's your high yield. Now let's talk about something else that might be the place to be, which is short-term loans. And Fidelity has a mutual fund that deals in these. And these have very little mature, short duration. You know, duration means if it's a 30-year bond and rates go up, the price of them are going to go down a lot more than one that only has 5 year. That's called duration risk. The duration risk on these instruments is very small. They are floating rate loans. And as you can see, they look a lot better, right? Now, again, there's risk to these things, no doubt about it. But at this point in time, they certainly have been the most stable out of all the stuff we just looked at. So that's why it may make some sense to investigate those. REITs are another thing as well. And Vanguard has a REIT, just to give you an idea on that. And they look pretty lousy too. They're breaking down as well. So obviously in fixed income, it's been a rough racket because again, the interest rate environment has changed. And so you have to be a little careful about what you do, but these are ways to get it. Another one to get some income on is through dividends. And one of the ones that we try to keep an eye on is this one here because it pays a higher dividend. And basically you're looking at something that's holding up pretty good. Can you see that's holding up a lot better than a lot of other things like your stock portfolio? This is where we were directing people. Why? Because if you're ever going to leave money market because you're not getting any income, are you going to go into some dot-com with a 500 to 1 PE ratio that pays no dividend? Probably not. So what are you going to be looking at in 2022? You're going to be looking at free cash flow. Well, if you're paying dividends out, you must have free cash flow because you got to pay dividends, right? And these pay income. So if the movie stinks for a while, you're getting paid to watch the movie. When your movie stinks and you got no dividend, you got nothing to show for it at all. You got no income and you got no growth. It's a lousy deal. So that's why this is an area that has definitely been holding up much better. Leon Cooperman said it best. If you go into a big down market, the winner is the guy who loses least. And this is an example of losing lease. So that's another way to get some income. And then, of course, some other standard ways would be your utility stocks. And here you can see them hanging in there pretty good. And another one would be your staples. Staples are stuff you got to buy, win, lose, or draw. You got to go get your toilet paper. You got to go wash the clothes, whatever. You can see they're hanging in well as well. So one of the advantages of getting our income package is not only the stuff that I showed you and other things, but I'm looking at it as I would look at it. In other words, I don't want to lose money. So I'm going to be looking at things and I don't have rose-colored glasses on. And I don't have any master like the boss says, tell everybody to stay in there. Or in the newsletter, I said something, so I got to keep saying it. You know, I don't have those problems. That's the problem with newsletters. First of all, they're dated material. Secondly, the guy's not going to do a total reversal and say, hey, I was wrong. Take your 50% loss. He's going to say, hang in there a lot, right? So the bottom line is I don't have those monkeys on my back so I can give you straight talk. That's why I'm trying to give you tonight. Okay, so the bottom line is those are some of the ways that you get income. And you can see some of them are doing pretty good and the other one's not so good. So knowing the difference can be the difference between getting whacked in the back of the head and feeling pretty good when you go to bed at night. That's door number one, income. All right, now I'm going to switch over to growth. Okay, and some of the areas we look for in growth we look at tech. Okay. And so basically tech has been in a lot of trouble because of the fact that, again, the interest rate environment has changed. And as you can see, you know, I'll tell you how it works on the 1 year graph. If somebody was talking to me and on this, I would say this thing says sell at 170. No reason to be in it here if you were up there, but put a hedge on, use the calls and puts to protect yourself. All right. Now you go to the longer term graph, looks lousy. But where would you want it to get above? And it would tell you maybe you're back on the right side. I would say getting back above 157 here would be a very big positive, and it might be a sign that the lows are in. Where's your RSI? RSI is at 51. So, you know, RSI stops at 50. That would be a great sign. And if we get back above 157, that would be a great sign. You go to your 20-year graph, and you can see the 1 year. It's trying to hold it. Where's the 1 year? 150. So as long as it stays above 150, and we can close above 157, someone might be able to make a case that there's something still to be happening on the upside. Here's the risk. You see that RSI is at 65? Remember what I told you? If it gets under 60 and we start breaking under 150, it opens the door to the reversion to the mean of these bigger ones here. So that's why you got to be cognizant of the prices. Okay. All right. So that's one area there. The other one, of course, is semiconductors, where there is a shortage and there is demand coming out the ears. You'd never know that by looking at the NVIDIA stock, which is tanked. But believe me, that is strictly a valuation play because that company is making a ton of money. But there is a price where people say, you know, it's a nice building, but I'm not going to give you $20 trillion for it. You know, so the bottom line is you know, that's the problem with something like NVIDIA is there's an evaluation adjustment. All right. Again, where'd you get the sell signal on the semis? Well, we got it up here at 305. And then basically it's down at hit a low here of 257. Okay. So what are we seeing on the 5 year? On the 5 year, we'd like to see this thing get back above 274. RSI is at 51. This is a neighborhood where it could happen. Now let's go to the 20 year and get the one year moving average. 1 year moving average is coming in at 265. So if we can get above where we closed today, RSI is at 67 though. So if it breaks underneath this low, it's going to open the door if the RSI gets under 60 for all of this. And the timetable of that is either in the first quarter or the second quarter of the year. And if you're over 21 years old, you know how fast quarters go, right? So it's not that much time. It goes by fast. But this is the time where it's going to be probably happening, if it's going to happen. Otherwise, you know, it's very conceivable with the spike up to 35 or 40 on the VIX, maybe we have a short-term panic low. So there you go on the semis. That's another way to get growth. Another way to get growth is a mega cap. So we've got a number of, and you know, obviously there's individual stocks we work with. I mentioned NVIDIA, but the bottom line is that, you know, this is a broad-based growth situation here. Half of the darn thing is in Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Facebook. So those five are about half of this thing. So the bottom line is that this thing, again, on the 20-year has to get above 64. So it's getting close. And then you could build a case, as long as it stays above 64, that maybe the 60s it. Again, let's talk about where the sell signal came in. Sell signal comes in above 71, right? And so what does it do here? Now you got this thing rising, and this thing really has to get above like 67 almost, about 67 to get back on the bicycle. And the RSI is at 49 right now. So those are three areas. And of course, when you break it down even further, you're going to be able to find even more. There's obviously different ones that we like as far as autonomous driving, which obviously is very much in the future here. But again, these are on the defensive right now, unless they can get back above their averages. Another one is travel and leisure stuff. So just to give you an overview on that one. Because again, you would think in the second half of the year, reopening is going to occur. So that's why we're looking at this stuff now. This is PayPal. Boy, talk about something that's in the tanker, huh? But it's also extremely oversold, basis the moving average. So if you go to a shorter term graph, is there a turn happening at all? Not really. That's your 1 month graph. So again, you could be looking at a 1, 2, 3 here if you're a short term trader. If it gets above this number here, which is 162 and a half, it might make a run for higher levels. You have a low, you have a rally, you pull back, you take out this level here, and maybe it'll make a run. But we weren't looking at that one there. We were looking at this one here. And this is leisure and entertainment. And leisure and entertainment, looking at it on a longer term basis. Again, it's holding its averages here. So I'd like it to stay above this 40 area, 40, 41. That's really where you want it to stay above. RSI is at 53. That's a good one. And this would include, you know, a lot of the things you do for leisure and entertainment. And then another one is the casinos and gaming. And this one's holding its water as well. You'd want it to stay, if you could, around above that 41 area. So if we can get going off of here, that would be very helpful. And your RSI is, I believe, still above 50. So that's a good, well, it's right at 50. If China is going to get going, you know, a couple of people are thinking that's going to happen. They want to get some good things going. You're looking at a situation of Las Vegas Sands. But that gives you an idea of some of the ways you can get some growth and value at the same time. The reason people like value is you get very good dividends on it. So high dividend stocks and dividend growers, people like those. Okay, it indicates you have free cash flow, which means it indicates you're making money. And people are very interested in companies that make money now. And then, of course, on tech, you know, it is so depressed because of this fantastic story that's running around on interest rates. You know, let's be frank, they haven't done anything. They're actually still buying bonds as we speak. So without them even doing one move, you've got people talking about 4 and 5 hikes, and you got people talking about the balance sheet runoff and all kinds of wonderful things. Okay. Realistically, they're going to probably do some tightening, and they're going to wait and see what the data says. And a lot of the data may come apart because, you know, when people switch their money into buying experiences rather than durable goods, because they couldn't go anywhere. So they bought refrigerators and houses and everything. You don't need to go anywhere. And then basically now they might be spending it on travel and leisure. That's why. And things like that. If you're going to have travel and leisure, you're going to have what? Air traffic. So this is another one we're keeping an eye on. American Airlines, Delta, United Airlines, all these kind of guys. We'd like to see this thing get going a little bit better before we get positive on it. We'd like to see it getting above the 22 and the 24 range if we could, you know, get it back on the bicycle. Because if it gets going, 28, 30, 32, 36 could be in the cards. But you're going to have to first get above this number here. And that number right there is 23. So once and if we get above 23, that's when we'll be hitting the bell as far as maybe something's turning here. Okay, so that gives you a little bit of how we can try to get some growth. Okay, another way that we've gotten growth, obviously, and this is something that we've been all over for quite a long time. I'll show you some of the ways that I've been suggesting people look to get growth. Okay, this was pretty much a no-brainer. This thing, when it was way down after the crash and these averages turned up, this is XLE, which is Chevron, Exxon, and stuff like that. And then you're boom, 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 all the way up. Okay. I mean, there's a shortage of oil because of the fact that the supply and demand dynamic is definitely tight. People are spending money on moving around, and these guys are not investing in new supplies. They're giving it back to shareholders in buybacks and dividends. Again, that is creating a dynamic of tightness in the energy markets, and it's not going to go away overnight, doesn't look like. So there you go on that. And then you've got the oil servicers that have also picked up steam. Okay, and that has a lot of upside potential if it gets moving. And then another one is XOP, which is your explorations. You know, at some point, they're going to have to start looking for more oil, right? Because the electric car thing is not going to happen overnight, doesn't look like, right? So let's go with the oil and gas. And this is another one that's got a lot of upside potential, as you can see. Gave you the buy single at 50. Okay, you know, when the moving average doesn't turn down and it's only underneath it for like 1 month and goes right back above it, you couldn't get a better buy signal. You couldn't get a better buy signal. When they try to bring it down and then it's right back up, couldn't get a better buy signal. So right now you're up at 106. They've tried to break it down and now it's on a run again. And your RSI on this thing is 57. So if it gets above 60, it's going to what? Accelerate to the upside. So that's where we've gotten a lot of growth. I'll show you another one where we got a lot of growth. Freeport MacMoran. Okay, this thing gave a buy signal, and this is where I actually bought it at this area. And it's still in the, what do you call that? The tax deferred accounts. And basically, this thing has just been a ride. Yes, it had a pullback, but when you buy down here, you can afford to let it pull back. And also, you can do hedging up here if you'd like. But now it's right back up on the bicycle. And as long as we can keep this thing going, and it looks like it's up in the aftermarket, this is a company that has got a lot of potential. Because if you look at the 20-year graph, there's a lot of real estate up here still to be had. So again, that's an example. Those are a couple of examples of areas that we saw opportunity. All right. So basically, that is the story on the second sector, which is how to make my money grow through growth areas and value areas. Okay. And obviously, there's a lot more to it, but that's an idea of what you get in the package. Next one is international. Okay. And on international, there are ones that it's a one-stop shop on it, where they do total world, which means half of it's in the U.S. about, or and the other is in the international markets. And this is a one-stop shop. Now, again, this one as well broke down under its one-year moving average. And if it can get back above the area here, then you're looking at a situation where it could be what? It could be back on the bicycle. If it stays under here and that RSI is at 60, so if that RSI starts getting under 60 here and it's right there, then you're going to see it probably go down to the mean. But there's a whole bunch of different ways to go. You can go to Europe, and I'll show you one of the things we're more keen on than the other. But this is a general Europe fund or ETF. So as you can see, you know, looks like a pretty good deal. Again, just like the US, it has come down here and basically it has broke the 1 year and it may be coming in here. But where's the RSI? It's at 54. So, you know what I would be thinking? If it gets back above this number here, which is 66 and a half, and the RSI breaks above 60, it may be in a situation where it's going to really make new highs because it really hasn't gone that far. And this is basically for Europe. One of the best areas in Europe is the UK. I mean, if you've ever been to the UK, you know, London, et cetera, those people have a lot of money and a lot of stuff going on compared to these other nations. So this is the one that I would keep an eye on because this one looks like it could scream to the upside. And this is the UK. And they're already taking their masks off and they're getting tired. And Johnson is getting a lot of heat. So, you know, these guys are going to open up. And when they open up, this stuff has the ability to fly, in my view. Where's your RSI here? It's at 53. So if it starts going to 36 and the RSI goes to 58, then it goes to 39, and then it goes above 60, well, you could see all up in here by the end of the year. If they reopen, it could happen. All right. The other area that I like there is the banks, you know, just like our banks. Didn't our banks make a ton of money, you know, after things started getting more open and stuff? Sure. So theirs is the same idea. It's it hasn't really made a big move yet. As you can see, there's plenty of real estate above. Moving averages are coming in here anywhere between 17, 50, and 20. And the RSI is at 53. So I think there could be plenty of room for the banks over in Europe. All right, switching areas, you go over to Asia and Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim is going to be your Japan, your Korea, and your Australia. Okay, and so here, what do you got? You've got something that, hang on, you got something here that is got an RSI at 50. Notice the RSIs are above 50, but not way up yet. That's the whole idea. They're above 50, which means it's a bull situation, but it's not at 69 because it hasn't happened yet. You get the idea? Okay. So the bottom line is, you know, you can run after Zoom and Teladoc and all these things and hope they come back, or you can go with major areas of the world that have a decent chance of really going once we get the Omicron behind us, once the weather heats up, and once people go, you know what? We got money. How do we know we got money? Because American Express just announced their earnings, and spending in American Express accounts went up 29% in the last quarter. So in Q4, while we had Omicron, while we had people not going around as much, they still had a 29% jump in spending. So what do you think is going to happen this year? They're looking for a 20% additional jump in spending. Okay. Where do you think people can spend money? They love to go to places like these areas here and also Europe. And that could help these people quite a bit. So the bottom line is this is something that looks pretty good to me. Again, it hasn't happened yet. You certainly would like it to be holding above 71, and you would certainly like it to start taking out 80 if it can do it. So keep an eye on this area. Last one is, it's broken down to a couple things, but you got emerging market. Now, you know, China, you know, obviously aired out everything. I'll give you an idea, you know, just to give you an idea how far down China has got. Okay, let's look at Alibaba. Now, this company is a monster, okay? And basically, you look at the last 5 years, and you can see from the chart that it is very, very low. And you can see from the chart, the RSI is at 37. Here it was at 36. Here it was at 34, okay? So bottom line is if you can get above 140, it could get going someplace, but there could be value here longer term, providing obviously it's risky area. If they start attacking Taiwan and we go into some kind of a war with them trade-wise, obviously it could be tough. But you know, something that used to be at 320 that goes for 110, you know, and if there's a future there, I mean, don't forget China is adding reserves because they didn't do QE like maniacs like we did. So they got plenty of excess reserves to add reserves to help their real estate market and other stuff to try to rebound this thing. So again, when you look at emerging markets, a lot of it does have to do with China. And so take a look at this thing and see what you think. We're looking at longer term charts because the shorter term charts on everything have gotten whacked. So you have to go to longer term charts to see if there's any ability for the thing to stabilize. These are still rising. Rising moving averages are good if you're bullish. So right now, they come in at 45 and 47 with the market at 49 and the RSI is at 54. Okay. So it's still in a positive mode and it may have another drop there. So there, you know, you have to be prepared for that. But if it holds these areas by the second half of the year, if things get, you know, more robust around the whole world, then obviously these guys could be a benefactor as well. So that's emerging market. Within the emerging markets, you've also got India. And on India, you are looking at a great demographic. You know, one of the reasons the U.S. is fabulous for the next 5 or 10 years is because we've got the biggest population around 30 to 50 years old. And 30 to 50 years old is when people are making, doing inventive things like getting a lot of patents. They also are going out buying houses and starting families and spending a lot of money. And they're also earning a lot. So that's our demographic. Well, another country that has great demographics as well is India. And as you can see, this thing is breaking down a little bit under the 1 year, which comes in at $45. But if it doesn't, now again, this is another one that's at 60 or 59.77. If it starts taking this thing out here and that RSI goes down to 50 underneath, you know, starts accelerating under 50, then you are probably going to get a reversion to the mean. So you got to be careful. But this is a longer term country has got good demographics. Another couple of ones that I wanted to show you. This country got whacked very hard. It's called Brazil, but it's heavy in natural resources and it's a big, big country. And so the bottom line is it doesn't look that fabulous now, but look what it used to go for back in 2008 during the big peak, 100. And then after that, it even was in the 45 and 50 range. Okay, we have a good 1-2-3 formation here. So you got a 1 and then you got a 2. So if we start closing above 40 and your RSI, which is at 46, starts breaking above 50, 55, then we could accelerate by the end of the year way up into this area. So I'd be watching this like a hawk because these guys are definitely out of favor, which means they're probably underappreciated on balance sheet. All right, next one is going to be on Mexico. You know, we are trying to repatriate our supply chains. But if we can't do it onshore, I think they're going to figure out that doing it in Mexico, where you can get down there by driving a car or a simple flight, is a lot better than over in Upper Mongolia, where, you know, it's a rough place to probably get to and figure things out. Plus, you know, there could be stoppages for reasons, political reasons, whatever. So again, Mexico could be very much a beneficiary of that repatriation that we're having versus having everything over in Asia. So I like that story a lot. And basically right now we're looking at something that has a RSI of 52, which is right on the line. So we'd like to make sure it holds this 41 area ballpark. And if it were to be able to get above this 51, 52 area, there could be a future here later in the year as well with the Mexican shares. So keep an eye on that one. So there you go. That's how you look at international markets. And that's what we bring to the table on package number three, which is the package on international investing. So again, package number one for income, package number two for growth and value. Package number three is for international, which is Europe, Pacific Rim, emerging markets, and also things like Brazil, Mexico, Latin America, Chile, et cetera. Okay. Number four is speculation. Okay. And this is where a lot of people who do short-term trading probably want to talk about. So let's get to it fast before I run out of time. I'll give you the gold market. And we've got a lot of mining shares that are on the verge. What does on the verge mean? It's on the verge of possibly going up very dramatically. Needs a little bit more strength, needs gold to break above a certain level. And I think if those two things happen, and if this guy comes out tomorrow, Powell, and starts acting like he's got all the time in the world to address the inflation, that could be the shot heard around the world. The only thing that makes me nervous about gold is anybody who knows anything about TIPS. TIPS are inflation protected securities, and they have been going down in price, which means people are not thinking that the inflation is going to persist. So they don't want TIPS this year. They wanted them last year, but they don't want them this year. So if they don't want TIPS, then the gold may not be able to take off. And that could save you a lot of money because you know what? If gold comes back to where the TIPS are trending, then gold has to come down in price because the chart on TIPS is pointing straight down while gold has been going up. They've been diverging, and that generally doesn't make much sense because if you look at the chart between gold and TIPS going back a year, 5 years, they track each other pretty good. So something's got to give. Now, gold tonight is down $5. If gold starts breaking under 1800, then it's not going to happen on the upside for these gold stocks. But you'll see in a minute what I'm talking about. This is a tricky one. Boy, I mean, I've been around a long time. This is in a wedge. You see this thing? It's right there. They're both converging. The 12 SMA and the 24 SMA, right there where? At around 1795. So if this thing breaks underneath that, maybe it's going to try to test this thing down here. The RSI right now is at 59. So if this gold, again, starts breaking under 1800 and the RSI starts breaking down from this 5960 range, people are going to be shocked, but gold could go in the tank in a pretty good way. And that'll be very surprising to people. But the reason it's confusing is if it starts breaking above the what? 1852, 1875, 1900 area, this whole ballpark here, then the RSI would be going above 60. And as we said, when it breaks above 60, it can go up to 75. So that's why this is a fantastic time to keep your eye on gold, because one way or the other, something's going to hit the fan here, in my opinion. And so basically keep an eye on it because you got the RSI on the ledge, meaning if it starts tanking from here 60, then you're going to get a big sell-off. If it starts going 62, 63, 64, then this thing's probably breaking out. And you know, when gold gets going nutty, you know, you can see it can go nutty pretty fast. So keep your eye on the gold. And we have a list of gold stocks that we think are outstanding, but we're not going to pull that trigger yet because we don't trust the fact that gold and TIPS are in opposite direction, which doesn't make sense. And if you know anything about life, things that don't make sense don't last. So we'll have to see. Okay, silver's the same story. We got a whole bunch of stuff we have on that as well. And then again, let's talk crypto so you can get the crypto talk in here. And let's talk about crypto, because there are those who say they're experts on crypto. Of course, they predicted crypto would be at 100,000 by December, and that didn't happen. But they do believe that crypto is still going to happen. So here's how I'm looking at crypto. This is Bitcoin using GBTC as a, you see this number down here? It's about 21 bucks. That's my line in the sand. So if you want to take a shot at crypto, this is the place to do it. And 21 bucks is the place to defend it. And of course, we just hit 22. So that would be a great place. You just hit 22. So obviously that number means something because it is moving away from that number. So on GBTC, use 21 as your line in the sand. And again, you still got adoptions, which means more wallets. You still got usage going. And of course, you still got applications for it. And so there is a reason why, you know, people still think, and it's still being used for payments, and, you know, adoptions are increasing, and that means more wallets. So there is a story still here. But the bottom line is, when the VIX jumps to 40 on the stock market, you're going to have trouble in crypto, but you already had trouble before the VIX jumped. So that's why, again, you have to have lines in the sand. Lines in the sand for me on this is 21 bucks. And of course, buying against that so far has been good because we're at 25. All right, let's talk about Ethereum. Now, Ethereum's got two things going for it. It's and by the way, a lot of the production of crypto, Bitcoin, has gone to the U.S., which makes people more comfortable. Now, these guys have obviously got a much more variant way of making money. But here's the problem. More and more companies or more and more platforms or whatever, Bitcoin instruments and platforms may be able to do the same thing or better as these guys that are extremely smart come up with more and more ideas. So they could be challenged on an area that they're not challenged so much. But they're also going green with their production, which people like as well. So as far as this one is concerned, I was using a number of about 18 on that, 18. And so far it's trading at around 19. So again, you know, these things look very, very messy, but I was looking at something like, well, you can even use these lows here. 16 to 18 is as far as I'd like to see it go. Again, very oversold, but you have to have some parameters on your risk. You can't just hold them to, I mean, come on, guys who didn't have a stop loss or anything up at 46. I mean, they're down here hoping against hope. You don't want to be doing that. But you got to figure the selling is going to, you know, exhaust at some point. Right now, it looks like it exhausted right there. So that's a way that you could say you could defend that. In addition, like I say, we do have in the speculative area, we do have commodities in there. And there are a number of commodities that look like they may be very, very volatile. A year ago, a year and a half ago, we told people about sugar at 12 cents. We told people about soybeans that are 8 and 9 cents. These grains are still in a very tight supply situation. In fact, a lot of farmers are holding back their grain, looking for higher prices, causing shortages. And of course, the weather in South America has been lousy. So there's a lot of opportunities in agriculture and also in the sugar and coffee area, all the things that are being grown. There's a one-stop shop that we suggest people investigate for the commodity sector. Last year, I think it was up as much as 50% or 35, 40% anyway. And that's not, there's nothing wrong with that. So we also offer that for information as well. So again, those are the four areas. And then the fifth thing that we have is we have a package that explains how to protect your portfolio using options. And we go and give you examples of exactly how the strategies work. And then, you know, again, we're not advising people on all this. We don't know everybody. We don't know their circumstances. We don't know their age and their net worths and everything else. So obviously we're in no position to advise anybody. And that's why we tell you to go to your broker and your brokerage firm and yourself and determine your suitability and your risk tolerance. But these are ideas that are out there and we share our opinion and our view on them. And again, after decades of experience, we feel that we add value. So again, that's the last thing. You can you learn things about how to protect your portfolio, and in some cases, how to create cash flow, which is very important as well. Okay, so those are the five things that we've got that we cover, and I think I went over quite a bit of it tonight. One, again, is your income. So if you're looking to get income and stuff like that, We have a package for you. Growth, you want your money to grow and you want to use it through growth and value. We've got a package there. International, a lot of people don't know what to do internationally. And if you just buy this general international fund, you know, it's not going to be quite as good as getting into individual countries and areas and individual stocks. And then, of course, on the speculative side, you've got your crypto, you've got your metals, and of course, you got your various commodities. So there's a lot to learn there. So before we close out, I just wanted to invite everybody to go to the website, optionprofessor.com, optionprofessor.com, and put in your information and we'll get a hold of you and go over some of the different things. And you could let us know which area you might have an interest in. And we'll explain how you can get the information from us. Or quicker even yet is shoot us an email. And if you had questions on things like, you know, I can't cover all the stocks here tonight in this short area, but obviously I follow them all. So if you have a question on something that you're in, you'd like another opinion on, some insight, you know, we can share our opinion on it. And that's optionprofessor@gmail.com. optionprofessor@gmail.com. Again, we try to do our best to give you information that will have value. We obviously try to do the best we can to get you the best ideas. Rather than a newsletter that's dated and gives you stuff like buy Amazon. Come on, you got to buy a newsletter to be told to buy Amazon. And then to quote Amazon as a track record, they don't tell you that you had to buy it in 1990 to get that return. You know, these are silly things in my view. And then, of course, a lot of these newsletters, the stocks that they've recommended are tanking. So who needs to pay money to lose money? So again, these ideas, I think, have value. So go to the website, optionprofessor.com, or shoot us the email, optionprofessor@gmail.com. Thank you all for being here. For those of you who stayed with us through the long night here, we appreciate that. We'll be in touch with you as more timing research events happen. I'm sure you learned quite a bit during these broadcasts. So good luck and good trading. And right now I'm going to turn it back over to David. Thank you very much for listening. This is optionprofessor.com and we're signing off. David, back to you.